Morning and welcome to Open Bible Podcast once again. We're coming towards the end of our reading through the book of Hosea. We're in the final chapter of Judgment. It is the penultimate chapter of the book, and it's in chapter 13 we begin to read today. So pause the podcast if you want, grab yourself a tea or a coffee, open your Bible and read with me as we read through chapter 13 of the book of Hosea. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made the molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Saviour beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard, by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the caul of their heart, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges, of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, and the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God, and they shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. And that brings to the end the reading of chapter 13. A horrific ending of this last chapter of judgment. And I think the key little phrase in this little verse is verse 9. In this chapter, sorry, is verse 9. As the Lord would say, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Thou hast destroyed thyself. And indeed, while the Lord is the one who is bringing this judgment upon the people, it is he who is coming, as it says in verse 15, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness. It is the Lord that is bringing the judgment. But the Lord did not want to bring that judgment. It need not have been necessary. For as we've seen all the way through this book, that the Lord is the Lord of love. He is their covenant God. He is the one who would be faithful to them. And he desires their return. He desires their love. That's the one thing he desires above all, their love. And we'll see as we come to the final chapter tomorrow, we will see this, that there is a day of return yet for that people. But at this point in time in Hosea's day, as we've come all the way down from the 750s BC through the 740s, 730s, now down to the final few days in the 720s before Assyria would come. They would come in 725 BC and they would besiege the city of Samaria. And for 3 years that city would be besieged before it would be finally destroyed. And the people destroyed, as we read in that final verse, in such a horrific way, they shall fall by the sword. But this was all because of the people. It was because of their sin. that the Lord was coming to judge them. They had destroyed themselves. And I think there's a link between the beginning of the chapter and the end. You know, as we read that last verse of the chapter, and we read about the infants being dashed in pieces and the woman with child being ripped up, it tugs at our heart, doesn't it? To think of those that we look upon as the innocent being caught up in this judgment. But we go back to the beginning of the chapter and we find again once more that it is this idolatry that is foremost in the minds of the Lord. The idolatry was that evidence that the people had turned their love away from the Lord and they had given their love to these other idols. Idols of their own making. Verse 2 talks about the those who would make the images. They made the images of silver and then they kissed them. But there's more to it than that. For that last phrase of verse 2, and you know, here in our English Bible it says, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. But when you look that up in the Hebrew, that the word men there is in the singular, Adam, the man. And it's not the man that kissed that sacrifices kiss the calves. It's, I think the idea more is that these craftsmen are saying, that the people are saying, let those that sacrifice man kiss the calves. Here the idolatrous unfaithfulness of Israel, as we said yesterday, they had become just like the Canaanites that had lived in the land before. The Canaanites who themselves had practiced child sacrifice, offering to their god Molech as part of this whole Baal worship. They had practiced child sacrifice. And now, how tragically, how terribly, Israel themselves had now got caught up in that very same practice of child sacrifice. And as they would take the life of the innocent, and they would sacrifice the life of that innocent child, so God is saying, well, if that's how you're acting, I'm going to take your children as well. And there is this eye for an eye kind of principle being played out here. And I think that's what we see as we come to the last verse of the chapter. Israel were going to get just what they asked for. The judgment was just and righteous, as it is always with the Lord. And, you know, it need not have been. You come to the middle part of that chapter in verse 4, the Lord would remind them, you know, I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no God but me. There was the commandment. There was the Mosaic law, the standard. The Lord says, I am the Lord. And there is no Saviour beside me. I was the one that saved you from Egypt. I brought you out. I saved you. There is no other Saviour. You're not going to find salvation in your idols that you make with your own hands. You're not going to find your salvation in Baal worship. You're not going to find your salvation by making treaties with other nations. As we saw yesterday, no, says the Lord, I am the Lord. I am the only God. I am the only Saviour. And that's a lesson that we need to remember today, isn't it? It still holds true as we come into the New Testament. The Lord is still the only God, the only Saviour. He is the one that we need to turn to. And he says, I would be your king. I would be your king. Verse 10. He says, you ought to have followed me. I would have led you. I would have protected you. I would have provided for you. God is a good king. And yet, what did the people do? They said, give me a king. And they wanted their own king. And so the Lord gave them a king. And he took away their king when their king was like Saul in the very beginning. When Saul turned from the Lord and disobeyed God, God took him. And so it had come to pass in relative quick succession from about 745-46 with the death of Jeroboam and his son Jeroboam the second, and then in quick succession, those kings that followed, Menahem and Pekah and so on, and Hoshea, now that the latter one, would all be brought down by the Lord because of their iniquity, because of their sin. And we come to verse 14, and verse 14 is an interesting verse. It's quoted by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in relation to resurrection. But I think what we have there is the Spirit of God taking this verse and applying it in a different way, in a more positive light, to resurrection. Because I think here in this chapter, in the immediate context, the words are set forth in a negative way. And instead of at the beginning of verse 14, it's saying, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. I think really it would make more sense. And this fits with the Hebrew. Instead of I will, we could just say, will I? This is the Lord's asking a question. Will I ransom them from the power of the grave? Will I redeem them from death? And then he says, no. I will be thy death, I will be thy plague, so grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. You remember there were many times throughout the history of Israel where the Lord had sought to destroy the people because of their idolatrous ways and their sin. You think right back to that first calf. We've read of the calves here in verse 2, but the first calf, that golden calf that Aaron had made, just at the foot of Mount Sinai, and the Lord would come down and destroy the people. But Moses interceded and mediated for the people. And we read the Lord repented. And the pity and the mercy of the Lord was seen in staying his hand from the people. But now he says, there's going to be no more repentance. There's going to be no more turning away in pity and mercy. The day of judgment has come. The day of judgment has come, and there is no escape. What a sad day it is when that day of judgment comes. Over and over again, the prophets of God had urged the people to turn back to the Lord. You think of that great victory that Elijah had on Mount Carmel, maybe just 100 years earlier, and the people had turned back to the Lord from Baal, but it hadn't lasted. And now, 100 years later, they had gone back again. In Elijah's day, 7,000 had not bowed the knee to Baal. There were still 7,000 faithful remnant in Israel. We're not told what it is in the days of Hosea here, 100 years later. But it could be that there were hardly any. You think of the judgment that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and how Abraham would intercede if only 50, if only 40, and all the way down, if only 10 righteous persons in that city. The Lord said, if I find 10, I will stay my hand of judgment. And here we have a day, a sad, sad day in the history of Israel. And the Lord says, there's no more ransom, there's no more repentance, there's no more time for salvation. Judgment has come. And could it be that there weren't even 10 faithful, righteous people who would seek the Lord in that day? What a sad thing. Judgment was coming. It's a reminder to us, doesn't it, that our God is a God of judgment. And there is a day of judgment ahead for us all. And it behoves us that we turn to the Lord, the one who is the only God, the only Saviour, and we make sure we are right with him. So that's the chapter, the final chapter of judgment. But there is one more chapter in Hosea, and it is a chapter of hope. It is a chapter of looking forward to that day of return and reconciliation when the people will once again be brought back to the Lord. So we thank you again for listening, and trust you are blessed by these things, and may you have a great day. The Lord bless you.